The man says, this body's for me. Don't know why you're over there eavesdropping. I need chizukin, and that's Baruch Hashem preparing for the Vaad. I've got a lot of chizuk from this, and hopefully I'll say it over, I'll get more chizuk. We're a week away from Shavuos. I have two kashas about Shavuos. First of all, there's no mitzvahs on Shavuos. What's my Shavuos supposed to look like? Pesach, I know what it's supposed to look like. The whole day is organized from Erev Pesach until it's all, you know what you're doing. Yeah? The Torah tells you what to do. Sukkos. It's all laid on. Shulchan Aruch. What am I supposed to do on Shavuos? There's a minag to learn through the night. Why exactly we do that, I'm not sure. We have a classic reason. Klal Yisrael went to sleep. Hakadosh Baruch Hu to go and waking them up. Whatever all that means. How I'm a sucker neck by staying up the whole night, I'm not sure. If the goal is to show Hashem how serious my Torah is, I'd probably be better off not sleeping Erev Shavuos, because you have to sleep on Erev Shavuos because you're gonna stay up the whole night. And how much do I really learn on Leil Shavuos? By the time I finish the Suda and I get to the Beis Midrash, and I've had 3 cups of coffee as the night goes on, and it's already sveikas about when to do Nagel Vas, and then I have to find someone to be Yotzimi and Brochas, and if I go to the mikvah, I have to leave half an hour earlier. How much do I really learn on Leil Shavuos? And then I sleep the whole day because I was up the whole night. And I say, if you want to show Hashem how serious you are about learning, so then Muslim, you'd be better up not staying up the whole night. And yet we see the Minag Yisrael. I'm not saying it's a minhag Yisrael, but we see the minhag is, and each year more and more people do it, is we stay up, or what are we doing here? Well, what's this about? And if there's such a minhag, there's a call for it. Klal Yisrael doesn't, what is Klal Yisrael up to here? And why are there no mitzvahs on Shavuos? Why don't Hashem give us any mitzvahs on Shavuos? Just like a yontif. What do? You go to daven, you come and eat your suda, and you learn a bit, you go to sleep, if there wasn't this minhag of staying up all night. You get up, you go to daven, you learn a bit, you go to bed, like a normal day. Normal day, except with 2 suddas. What's the big, what am I doing here? Let's take a little journey, maybe we'll come to some clarity on what we're supposed to be doing here. I'm going to ask a few other questions along the way as well, which I know are bothering some people. If we look at last week's parsha, B'chukosai, Aaron Feldman once said, if you don't know what the definition of a Jew is, that's what a Jew is. A Jew is last week's parsha. If you do what you're supposed to do, there's unbelievable brachas. Unbelievable brachas. Vasig lechem daish, es botzi, ve botzi yosig, ezere, vachaltim lachme, le soive, ve shavtim, ve vetach batzach. You'll eat, you'll have prosperity, you'll live in your land with complete security. No one's going to bother you. Vnesati shalom baret, you'll have peace. Even the animals won't bother you. The mosquitoes won't nudge you. The flies won't bother you. They're complete, even the animals. And if anybody does want to start up with you, they won't start up with you. You'll chase them and you'll beat them. Your enemies will fall in front of you. And you will grow big and you'll walk with pride. Vakimoisi. Is brisi eschem, v'achaltim yoshen, even the old fruit won't go bad. Amazing, amazing brochas which you all looked at last week and you went through and you saw the rashis. And then this progression continues the way it's supposed to, very normally, and then it says, v'nestati mishkani b'seichachem, and I will build the Beis HaMikdash, my mishkan will be amongst you. Velo sigal nafshi eschem, and I won't get sick of you. What's going on here? You'll have peace and you'll have prosperity, and Hashem's doing nothing else. Hashem's busy the whole day making sure that Klal Yisrael has everything they want. Utopia. And right at the end, the pinnacle of all of this is Hashem says, I won't get sick of you. I'm not going to get sick of you. Velo sigal nafshi eschem. What's that doing here? How did that sneak in here? So on this point I heard an interesting insight from a Berkovitz. He said, as a Chiddush, I'm not sure where he got it from, he said, whenever the Torah talks about the way Hashem will react to us, they can also be learned the way we'll relate to Hashem. In other words, if it's telling us the law sigal nafshi eschem, Hashem won't get sick of us, it's also telling us we won't get sick of Hashem. So I want to focus on that aspect of it. What's the worst thing can happen to a person? He'd achieve all his goals. We all know what happens when we achieve our goals. Person sets out to achieve something. What happens when he achieves it? Yeah. Now what? I remember when I was a kid waiting for my driver's license. Yeah, that was going to be it. Once you get your driver's license, you get a car, that's it. Nothing can stand in your way. Perfect, right? What happens when you get your driver's license? A week later, your mother says, why do you mind going down? Give me a break. Get in the car again. You get bored. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is promising us everything. Everything. You won't be chaser. Nothing. Yeah? How are you going to maintain the freshness? How are you going to get bored? How are you not going to get... Hashem promises, v'lo sigal nafshi eschem. You'll have everything. Everything will be in place. Everything will be fine. You'll have prosperity, peace, food, whatever you need. Yeah, you'll be walking around besimcha, tamid, and you won't be bored. There'll be a freshness and a renewal all the time. All the time. How do you achieve that? How are we supposed to achieve that? Where does that come from? How do you maintain that freshness, that newness in everything you're doing? Go back to the beginning of the parsha. In b'chu kaisa taleichu, v'sintzmara tishmaru v'asisa maisam. Rashi points out straight away, in b'chu kaisa taleichu should be telling you if you keep the mitzvahs. But it can't be, because the next line says, v'imotza tishmaru. So what's b'chu kaisa taleichu coming to tell me? Tiamolim b'teira. Tiamolim b'teira. All these, you want to call them rewards, brochas. I heard once that this is not a, there's not reward, there's not schavonish, this is derech ateva. A melim b'teira, and what comes from it is derech ateva. It's not a reward, but whichever you want to learn it, all these milers that the pasuk promises us comes from being a melim b'teira, not from learning Torah, being omol b'teira, toiling in Torah. Why does it have to be toiling in Torah? There were plenty clever people, geniuses, yeah, who became great Gedol Yisrael. There were plenty of geniuses who never became great Gedol Yisrael. And there were plenty of average intellectual people who became Gedol Yisrael. What was the common factor? What was the common factor amongst all these people? They stayed up late at night. We saw people who in every aspect of their lives were the epitome of normalcy, of understanding. You could talk to them, not we saw, we see today even. The epitome of normalcy, people who understand things, you can talk to them about anything, people come ask them, it is about business, about the most mundane things, and they're there, and they have time, and they're normal, and they're balanced, except in one area of their lives, Torah. When it comes to learning Torah, they're meshuggahs. They're absolutely nuts. Crazy. The Gemara even mentions how the goyim used to mock us. Yeah? Your fingers are crushed and bleeding, and you don't even notice, because you're busy learning. Are you crazy? What are you doing? The goyim used to mock us. But we all know people, we all know stories about greats, not even greats that long ago. We're not talking about the Rebbe Akiva who felt that it was better to be learning Torah and that we need to learn Torah even if they're going to kill us, because if we don't learn Torah then for sure we're going to die. We're not talking about the Rebbe Akiva. We're talking about in our generation, people that knew people, Reb Lazer Gordon testified about himself. The great Telzer Rosh Hashiva said about himself, Torah to me is like whiskey is to a drunkard. I'm an alcoholic. He once jumped through the window. He was walking past the Talmud Torah and he heard a kid ask another kid a question. And he jumped through the window to hear the Torah that they were learning. Someone said to him, what are you doing jumping through it? He said, you never seen an alcoholic jump through a window to get a whiskey? I've been an alcoholic. I'm a meshuggah. Yeah. Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky was once told by the doctor that he can't learn. It's dangerous for him to learn. He can't learn. He has to rest. He was ill. The Bocher came to visit him that afternoon, that went with him to the doctor, found him sitting and learning. He said, I don't understand, we were just at the doctor. The doctor told you to stop learning. So he said to me, if the doctor would tell me to stop breathing, the doctor told me to stop breathing, I have a chiv to stop breathing. The Chesed Shema once, when he was told not to learn Torah, he told one of his Talmidim when we were sitting and learning, he said, if I don't learn, I'll die. So I'd rather die from learning than die from not learning. I'm going to die anyway, so I'll learn. He lived to a ripe old age. But that's what it meant to them. That's a molim b'teira. If I can't learn, then I might as well be dead. I'm dead already. That's a molim b'teira. What's going on here? Why does it require such a degree of obsession? Well, what's this obsession here? And lemaisa, if a person wants to know the whole Torah, it doesn't have to be such a big molim b'teira. If someone wants to learn the whole telephone book, if someone wants to know the whole telephone book, If he's got a very good memory, he doesn't have to stay up late at night doing that. You can do that quite easily. You want to learn a few Daf of Gemara? There's some tricks, there's simonim. The mind responds to games. We can work out ways of remembering. The Maaseh person has to know the whole Torah. That's Vishinantam. Vishinantam, that's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about Amolim B'Torah. The person has to learn and he has to know Torah, but that's not what we're talking about. To achieve Vishinantam, you don't have to stay up late at night. In fact, you're probably better off not staying up too late at night if you want to achieve Vishinantam. What's this Amolah all about? For Derech Hashem, going through all the different benefits, the different toitzahs of what we do. So he goes through Yontif and he goes through Chesed. Chesed, he says, when a person does Chesed, he becomes like Hashem. He's Madama to Hashem. Tefillah, he says, you're calling out to Hashem. When it comes to Torah, it's a Moedika thing that the Ramchal says, when a person's learning Torah, he's grabbing hold of Hashem himself. Grabbing hold of Hashem himself. All the mitzvahs and everything we do make us like Hashem, get us closer to Hashem, allow us to interact with Hashem. Learning Torah is you and Hashem becoming the same creature. The more we learn the Iyun, the more we go into the Torah deeply, the more we understand another Svar, another insight, another aspect, the more we're replacing the molecules of our brain. I don't know if it's really the molecules, but Divrei Torah, Divrei Shur B'Loshon, what he understands, is the molecules of your brain are being replaced by Hashem. We're starting to think like Hashem. Hashem's brain and your brain are starting to become one. You're replacing your brain, your mind, with Hashem's mind. There have been plenty of attempts to try and change the yeshiva system to get people to learn better, to know more, to learn more quickly. There were two ways out of those attempts. Either they stopped being yeshivas, or they realized the mistake and they went back to doing what the yeshivas do. That's what yeshiva is. That's what yeshiva is. Yeshivas weren't designed for Vishinantam. Yeshivas weren't designed for you to know Torah. Yeshivas were designed for Amal, to have a relationship with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. Many people have come and said, what are you doing? The whole month you learned 10 daf. What did you achieve? What do you mean, what did you achieve? I changed half my brain. I took the secular brain and I was able to afuch half of it. Maybe 2% of my brain is now thinking like Hashem, not like me. We've seen examples where proper amala can change even a person's involuntary reactions. Voluntary reactions, I understand. You get an issue come across you. You think it through. You analyze it in the way that the Torah taught you how to analyze and think. So you now think better. So you'll come to the correct conclusion. That's fine. But what about involuntary reactions? Involuntary reactions. Someone slaps you on the back. Yeah? Ow! How do you stop doing that? Ramosha we saw. Everyone knows Ramosha Feinstein, the famous story. Amazing story. The more I think about the story, the more it blows my mind. His hand gets slammed and crushed in the car door and he doesn't react because he doesn't want to embarrass the bocha that did it. How did he do that? There's no time to think between the pain and you worrying about, because his involuntary reactions are reacting Torah. He's so absorbed so much Torah into him that his involuntary reaction says, you're not allowed to embarrass somebody, therefore you don't scream, and he doesn't scream. That's in this generation. The people, yeah, that new Rav Moshe. That's Amala B'Torah, and Rav Moshe's Amala was legendary. We know that. It's about the relationship with Hashem. It's not about knowing. It's not about being clever. It's not about being smart. It's about having a love relationship with somebody so much that you become besotted. Look at the Rambam's description of Avas Hashem. Become lovesick, become a sugar, become crazy with Hashem. People often think, you know, he's got a lot of Avas HaTorah, so that's why he learned so much. That's not true. The more you learn, the more you omel, the more your Avas HaTorah grows. First you have to sit down and toil. And it's hard. Oh, it's hard. There's nothing hard in the world. The Yetzirah knows what comes from this. And it's hard to find the balance, because the Yetzirah will push you over the edge, that you'll be omel too much and you'll get sick, God forbid, but you won't be able to learn at all. It takes a lot of sensitivity and a lot of guidance and a lot of adrocha to know when and how and when not. But the bottom line is that's what the Pasuk's telling us. Imbuchesa Talechu's telling you it's got to be ba'omah, it's got to be with an obsession, it's got to be with a, at the expense of everything else. And at the same time, be perfectly normal and be able to deal with people and see people and talk to people and function in the world normally, because that's what we saw. Yeah. quite a demand, but the Torah demands it of us. And only the Torah can demand it of you. No one else can demand this of you. No one else can demand some of the things that are demanded from us. We see Reuven, who the Bechor was taken away from him, stripped from him, taken away from him, goes and tries to save the life of the person who took away the Bechor. And I said, the Bechor taken away from him. Esav gave away the Bechor. He sold it. He didn't want it anymore. Yeah, and he tries to kill the person that took it away from him. Yeah, look at the difference. Look at the difference, what the Torah demands from us. Jealousy, there's a natural tendency. Reuven felt jealousy towards Yosef and he was a bit upset with him or whatever. I don't understand. That's normal. You know, you were supposed to be the Bechor and you got it stripped away and your little baby brother got it. It's a piece of jealousy. Yeah, that's normal. No, Torah demands something more than that. Not only is he jealous, not only, but he goes and he's the one that's fighting for Yosef's life. Without Torah, what do we look like? Without Torah, what do we look like? Esav's trying to kill Yaakov. Why? Because he sold him the Bechor. He didn't want it. Yeah, but he got something that I had. I'm going to kill him for it. That's what the Torah demands from us. This degree of Amala. Lamaisa, that's what Shavuos is about. That's what Shavuos is about. You know what? There are no mitzvahs on Shavuos. What mitzvah would you want? What do you want to do on Shavuos? Shavuos is about me and Hashem. It's about a relationship with me and Hashem. However you connect, however you personally connect and have that relationship with the Kosh Baruch Hu, that's what's left for you. All HaKadosh Baruch Hu do is create you a clearing in the forest. A bunch of lota says, don't do malacha, don't do this. Yontif. Pashat Yontif. What mitzvahs? You've got to work that out yourself. The very personal, private relationship. You can't tell somebody how to have a relationship. Klal Yisrael has found a minag. We stay up the whole night. How do we stay up the whole night? How do we learn the whole night? The sources that describe what the minag looked like is one big dance of simcha. Medaleg mi ksuvim lenevim lenevim lechumash and lemishnayis medaleg. They were dancing besimcha through the Torah, playing with the Torah on the El Shavuos. It's not about learning more. It's not about covering more ground. It's not about understanding more. It's about showing HaKadosh Baruch Hu how important this moment is for me, how precious this time is for me. That I have a moment where I can zman obsession seinu, let's call it. Shavuos is about filling myself with a craziness, a love, a yearning for Torah, desire that everything else gets bottled, everything gets pushed away, just to learn. That's it. Nothing else is in my life. Nothing else. Like a drunkard. I've been zeichet to see it. The next door neighbor. Renowned as one of the biggest masmidim of this generation. Zoicha to hang around there a little bit. I'm not sure there are too many people Isik in Chesed like he is. Isik in Chesed, Yom Avalayla. And at the same time, not a second gets wasted from learning. Not a second. Between doing two chasodim, he'll look in the Rashba again. Okay, they say about him, his family say about him, that he'll go to sleep at 2 o'clock in the morning after having dealt with everyone's problems. And a quarter past 2, he'll wake up already and be back at his shtender. He thought he had pshat in the Rashba. He went to lie down, and while he was lying down, he realized, no, that's not pshat in the Rashba. He got up again, went back to his shtender. While he was at his shtender, there was a knock on the door. Somebody opened the door. Somebody had a problem, whatever. He dealt with the problem, went back to bed. 15 minutes later, got out of bed. No, still not clear. 5 o'clock in the morning, he's still up. Still up, gone to bed 5 times, up, because still hasn't got pshat in the Rashba. Hasn't got pshat in the Rashba. Now, we told stories about greats in the previous generations, but there's still people walking around like that today, that it bothers them, they can't go to sleep because the Rashba. The Rashba just doesn't make sense. And the Rashba's made sense 15 times already, but it's not quite. People in this generation. That's why I said earlier, this is about me. I'm not talking about anything here that I've attained. Normally you should speak about things you've attained. That's what Avadi is. You come and you share things you've achieved. I don't know what this is about. This obsession, this insanity for MS, for truth, for Hashem, for the relationship, and knowing that this is the only way to really grab hold of Hashem through my learning. I need to hear this. I need to be machazet this. The person has to go from where he is, reality check, and try and strive for these things. When to do it, when to be meshuggah, and when to really pretend that you are who you aren't. Same way as we're allowed to do on Pesach, a person can pretend on Leila Seder to be something he's not. You have to be a melech. And say the Leila Seder, you have to be a melech. Aber I'm not a melech, I've been a schlepsacher. No, you have to pretend. You have to do all tricks and sticks and put zahav on the table. What are you going to pretend? Or to pretend, Shavuos, a person has to pretend a little bit to be meshuga. He has to come out of Shavuos and go back to being normal again. But Leila Shavuos, that's what the day is. It's a day for being crazy, for being showing Hashem how much it means to us. Even if you have to put on a little bit of an act, it has to be a sincere act, but it has to be at least an act. And that's what the minag is, and that's why we learn through the night, and that's why we do. We steal a few hours from our learning to sleep before, so that we'll be ready for this moment. And if we're exhausted the next day, obviously a person's got to be sensible. Yeah, I'm not saying a person should fall asleep during davening. A person should miss davening. Chas v'chalil, a person has to. Everyone's got his ways of doing it. There's some people that learn till 3 and they go to sleep and daven. Everyone's got his. I'm not trying to come to change anything here, but I'm just talking about an attitude that one should have to Shavuos. It's an attitude of muzayin meshuga. Have to be meshuga. And when we'll do that, yes, then you can attain everything, and you'll still be v'simcha. You'll still be happy. I heard from one of Reb Zelig's Talmidim, early Talmidim, end with this. Reb Zelig once turned around to the Shia, he was still teaching in Asher Torah, and he said, you know what, I'll still be learning in 20 years' time, and in 6 months' time, you won't be learning anymore. That's what he said to them. I'll still be learning, and you won't. You know why? Because how do you learn? You learn the Mishnah, you get pshat. You learn the Rashi, you get pshat. You learn the Tosfos, you get pshat. Vayit in the Gemara, another Gemara, another Tosfos. So you learn like that, you won't learn for very long. He said, you know how I learn? I learn the Mishnah and I go, wow, here's a Mishnah. Let's see what Rashi has to say. Look in the Rashi. Psh, I don't understand the Rashi. So I try and break my head over the Rashi. Eventually I find out, that's Pshat in Rashi. I sit back and I smile for a few minutes. And I celebrate. Wow, I was zeichet to understand a Rashi. How was I zeichet to understand a Rashi? As a geschmack. All right, fine. There's Rashi. Let's see what Tosfos has to say about this. Tosfos doesn't say anything like Rashi. What's going on here? And weiter, every time I understood something, I stop and I celebrate. And you see it when he's giving shir. You see when he's giving shir, it's kedai, even if you don't understand what he's talking about, just to sit and watch his face. When he gets to a difficulty in the middle of shir, when you're giving shir, yeah, and someone asks you a question, out of the answer, so what do? You give an answer so you can get on with it. You don't look stupid. Well, he'll sit 15 minutes trying to fetch out the answer. That's a mola b'teir. It's kedai just to watch. Just to see a mola b'teir. And it's with a smile, and the eyes are dancing b'simcha. How do you do that? It takes years and years of Amal B'Torah, but that's the attitude that a person has to have. It doesn't come easy and it doesn't come quick. But on Leil Shavuos, a person can get an injection, the same as Man Chayruseni, we get an injection, we charge up the battery of Chayrus on Pesach, and we charge up the battery of Simcha on Sukkos. You can charge up the battery of being a little obsessive and a little bit meshuga about learning Torah, you can get that on Shavuos. We should be zeiche to all the brachas, and we zeiche to understand what is Amal B'Torah, Adam La'amul Yulad, that's why we're in this world. We should be zeiche to all the brachas written in the psukim. B'mehera b'yameinu. Amen.